This is Bad Cop No Donut for the week of January 13th, 2005.
All right, police!
Bad Cop No Donut!
Bad.
Cop.
No. Donut!
It's under law! And I rule!
With your weekly wrap-up of North American police brutality, misconduct, and corruption, I'm Ron Anisich at CKLN in Toronto. A woman who claims she was raped by a Louisville, Kentucky police officer has filed a lawsuit in federal court. In her lawsuit, the woman says that last January, Officer Billy Ray White entered her home, pointed his weapon at her, and forced her to have sex with him in front of her infant daughter. He then threatened to kill the woman if she told anyone. In her lawsuit, she holds the city liable for hiring an officer with a history of abusive behavior towards women. White, who resigned from the force in May, has pleaded not guilty to charges of rape, intimidating a participant in the legal process, tampering with a witness, tampering with public records, tampering with physical evidence, and official misconduct. Two police officers and a department volunteer in East Palo Alto, California, are under investigation for beating a man unconscious last August. During a probe by the county district attorney, the officers said they had confronted a drug suspect who they chased until he disappeared. But the youth volunteer and the victim told of a beating that ended with the victim being left bleeding and unconscious. Eventually, the victim made his way home and then to a hospital. Both officers are still on duty, as the district attorney has not decided yet on whether or not to file charges. The department is also conducting its own investigation, during which both officers accused in the beating remain on active duty. A county judge in Florida has ruled that the city of Jacksonville's public drinking ban is unconstitutional. Last month, Jacksonville police officer Caleb Underwood killed a man while arresting him for drinking in public. Underwood has since resigned from the force for other past misconduct. 2 days later, another man died in Jacksonville police custody. Both of those deaths are being investigated by the FBI and the United States Justice Department. Last week, we told you about a man who claims he was severely beaten by Jacksonville police on Christmas Eve. This week, it appears that there has been yet another death in custody involving Jacksonville police. On Sunday, a man who was being booked into the Duval County Jail by Jacksonville officers died. The man, arrested after a disturbance at a hospital, collapsed while being taken to be fingerprinted. Police claim that there was no physical confrontation with the man at any time. A man in Eunice, Louisiana, has settled his police brutality lawsuit out of court. The man was beaten by Eunice police officers when they arrested him for disturbing the peace at his high school reunion. Both state authorities and the FBI investigated the beating after the man filed a lawsuit naming four officers and the chief of the department. Reports in the local media suggest that the man has accepted an offer of $35,000 to settle the lawsuit. This week, it was reported that Taser International is under investigation for claims made about the safety of their products from both the United States Securities and Exchange Commission and the Arizona Attorney General's Office. The company manufactures stun guns for North America's police forces. The company acknowledged the investigations last week. The SEC is also looking into a large sale of weapons at the end of last year that is suspected to have been an attempt to inflate annual sales figures. Growing numbers of media reports, in addition to reports by Amnesty International and the U.S. military, suggest that Taser's claim that no one has ever been killed by one of its products is fairly absurd. Tasers use a 50,000-volt shock to subdue their targets, either through direct contact or through wire barbs that hook onto skin when fired from the taser and are connected to the handheld unit by a pair of 20-foot wires. Some police departments have backed away from plans to purchase stun guns in the future, and other departments have restricted their use or implemented technology to track when the devices are being used by their officers. Most North American police departments, however, stand by the use of stun guns as an alternative to the use of lethal force. Meanwhile, people appear to be dying at an alarming rate. In Arizona, the home state of Taser International, the newspaper The Arizona Republic reports 11 deaths resulting from Taser use. An Amnesty International report released in November linked 74 deaths to the use of stun guns in the United States and Canada. In Canada, there have been at least 6 coroner's inquests into deaths linked to the use of tasers. Last month, 3 people were killed by Florida police in taser-related incidents. On Saturday, police in Pensacola, Florida, killed a man with a taser after he broke into a residence owned by members of his family and argued with them. Escambia County Sheriff's deputies say they shocked the man twice after he resisted arrest. Football fans at the Fiesta Bowl in Utah last week were tasered by police, who were trying to keep them off the playing field after the game. At least one child was shot with a stun gun at that event. Jury selection began this week in a civil lawsuit against the chief of the Niles, Ohio Police Department almost a decade after the events which led to the suit. Chief Bruce Simeon was on his way to an emergency in April 1986 when his car crashed into another vehicle which was carrying 2 occupants. The passenger was killed instantly, and the driver died after spending 6 weeks in a coma. The first part of the trial will determine if the chief and the city are liable in the deaths of the 2 men. If successful, the families of the 2 men will proceed to a second trial, where the amount of damages to be awarded will be decided. The second trial is scheduled to take place in April. A school principal in Springfield, Massachusetts, who was beaten by police during a diabetic attack in November, is suing the officers. The man says he pulled his car into a convenience store parking lot when he began to feel disoriented. A store clerk called the police when he noticed the man's car had been parked for some time. When police arrived, they smashed the car windows and dragged the man through them, even though the car's doors were unlocked. The man's lawsuit described how he was beaten, kicked, and choked by officers Jeffrey Asher, James Kervick, James Shuchuk, and James Moriarty. The lawsuit also refers to 5 other unidentified officers. The man says he repeatedly told the officers of his condition and said he needed juice or sugar. He claims the officers then continued to kick and beat him with nightsticks and a flashlight and accused him of being on drugs when they opened his briefcase and discovered his insulin and syringes. The 4 named officers have been placed on paid administrative leave.
Mr. Nin's case would be the 3rd time that this officer has used unreasonable force, has used unlawful force against citizens of St. Paul.
Police in St. Paul, Minnesota are investigating one of their own officers who allegedly pepper-sprayed and beat an 85-year-old man during a traffic stop. The man was bringing cupcakes and sandwiches to his wife at a nursing home when he was pulled over by Officer Michael Lee for having expired license tags. The man says Lee was belligerent because he failed to pull over quickly enough. Police say the man attacked the officer. The man was arrested and spent 2 days in jail before he was released. After his release, he sought medical treatment at a hospital. Lee has not been suspended during the investigation. In 2001, Officer Lee accidentally shot a man who had been carjacked and who had managed to get a gun away from his attacker. Lee was cleared of any wrongdoing in that killing. Further allegations have come to light in the case of Whitehall, Wisconsin police officer Daniel Wineski, who was sentenced in November to 7 years in prison for forcing a 14-year-old girl to perform a sex act on him in his squad car in 1996. Wineski avoided a trial by pleading guilty to the charges. Because of a statute of limitations, Wineski was never charged with any of these additional crimes, but prosecutors planned to introduce the evidence at the officer's trial had he not pleaded guilty. In addition to the charge involving the 14-year-old, there are a number of other complaints against Wineski. After a traffic stop in 1981, he forced a girl to go to a park, where he handcuffed her and placed his hands up her shirt and down her shorts. He is accused of groping a girl who was being taken into custody for underage drinking in 1986. Wineski is accused of hugging and kissing a 15-year-old girl in her bedroom while conducting surveillance related to a theft. He's also accused of propositioning a 17-year-old who he was questioning regarding disorderly conduct. The woman said she made out with Wineski on several occasions and that he fondled her while he was in uniform and on duty. A woman told police that when she was 18 years old and was intoxicated, she had sex with Wineski at a police station. While writing a citation for underage drinking, Wineski offered to destroy it for a 14-year-old girl in exchange for sex. When she refused, he gave her 24 hours with which to change her mind before he dropped the citation off at her parents' house. Wineski is also accused of buying beer for a teenage girl and then forcing her to have sex with him. Recently, one of the other women sexually assaulted by Wineski when she was a teen told her story to a local newspaper. You can read the interview with her at the La Crosse Tribune website. A police officer in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, has been sentenced to probation for mistakenly going on a drunken rampage in a house which the officer had mistaken for his girlfriend's, who actually lived next door. Officer Joseph Brown inflicted thousands of dollars of damage to the property in the incident, which happened last spring. In addition to the 12 months of probation, he has been ordered to pay almost $4,000 in restitution and to undergo an alcohol abuse evaluation. Brown resigned from the department in May, a month after the incident. By then, his supervisors were investigating four other episodes of violence or misconduct committed by the officer, all between March and April. The father of a man killed by police in Brownsville, Pennsylvania last May filed a $100 million civil lawsuit this week. The lawsuit claims the man was shot in the back as he drove away from the officers and that he was then pulled from his truck and beaten by officers while he was bleeding to death. The man later died at a hospital. The lawsuit claims that officers Autumn Fike, Mark Costello, Josh Mrosko, and Dennis Field deliberately killed their victim after a 6-mile slow-speed chase. Police began the chase after spotting the man in an area he had been told to leave the night before. A coroner's inquest has already recommended that the officers involved with the incident not be charged. The Tennessee Bureau of Investigation is investigating an allegation that the Ethbridge police chief beat a 58-year-old grandmother who had not committed a crime. The woman says that Chief E.O. Shelton brutalized her at the Ethbridge City Hall last Wednesday morning, kicking, beating, and choking her until she lost consciousness. During the attack, the officer had to be told to get off of the woman by another officer. Shelton is currently on paid leave. A police officer in Detroit has been charged with providing stolen drugs to addicts in connection to a website which he ran. Officer Sierre Campbell is accused of stealing drugs from the narcotics unit where he worked and providing them to as many as 50 drug users. He then photographed them using the marijuana, crack cocaine, and heroin for his website. He then charged visitors to his website a fee to view the footage. Campbell's trial begins next week. Police in Syracuse, New York, are accused of beating a 16-year-old. The boy admits he was running from police when he fell. He claims that several officers then attacked him with a flashlight and kicked him. The boy was charged with possession of stolen property and resisting arrest. The boy's family is considering a lawsuit. A police investigation is underway. A detective in Boston is under investigation for false testimony given to a grand jury. Officer Eve Damberville was placed on administrative leave on December 6th after he failed to follow proper procedure while showing photo arrays to a victim of a crime. The officer then lied about the events when he testified before a grand jury. The case against the alleged perpetrators of the crime was eventually thrown out of court because of problems with the identification procedure followed by the officer. A police officer in Houston is on trial this week for murdering a 14-year-old in November 2003. Officer Arthur Carboneau claims to have killed the boy accidentally during a struggle, but prosecutors say he was killed deliberately. The 14-year-old was being stopped by the officer because he expected the boy was involved in an assault he was investigating. Carboneau claims his gun went off when the boy kicked him in the arm. The boy was shot at close range in the head. Other than the killings already mentioned, police also killed people this week in Louisville, Kentucky, where police killed two people within 9 hours last Thursday, bringing their total to 13 since 1998. Las Vegas, where police killed a man who had stolen some CDs from a drugstore, the third fatal shooting by Las Vegas police in 3 weeks. Longmont, Colorado, where police shot and killed a 61-year-old woman in her home. And Ceres, California, where police killed a U.S. Marine after a standoff. Email your comments and story ideas to ihatepigs@hotmail.com. That's all for this week. Tune into this station next week for more. from CKLN 88.1 FM in Toronto. I'm Ron Anisich. Every week we end Bad Cop, No Donut with a song. This week it's Police Story by Black Flag.